Are you ready to discover how to maximize your marriage, family, and life while growing your business? Well, welcome to Love Plus Money, the show where we show you how to succeed in business while thriving in family, health, and legacy.
And welcome to part two. Janelle, anything you want to say about part one that you want to clear up before we begin?
I apparently said open marriage instead of open communication. We're not into that. Not into the open marriage. Sorry, I misspoke. I was like, Andrew, why did you not correct me? So open communication is the goal. I think we all can agree.
Very different things.
Very different things. Not into that. I know we live in St. George, Utah, but not into that. Okay. So as we come into the part two, let's do a quick little recap. Episode previously, we talked about just differences. Almost said diseases, sorry. Differences between men and women, both mentally, physiologically, what's happening that could be causing some friction. Men being single-focused, part of your gift. Women, we are more multi-focused, big part of our gift, being able to look at different needs that are going on within our family, within our friend group. We're more emotional beings. That takes a good amount of testosterone, that of which we do not have a lot of. We have how much difference?
30 times less.
15 to 30 times less than men. And we need our testosterone, but we need to not be burning it out by being super emotional, having our adrenals be all over the place.
And a lot of times that's down to the stories that you're telling yourself. You know, a lot of times people make things worse than they are.
Well, let's talk about it.
You know,
and we just talked about this on our walk yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as women, sometimes we can want to project our unmet needs, unspoken needs, through storytelling. Because we're creative, amazing beings. And so if we're feeling lonely or we're feeling overwhelmed or we're feeling tired, instead of just saying it like that, what are some ways that maybe you've heard me maybe share this with you? Maybe instead of it's that I'm tired, it's that everything is
a
taking
disaster.
So much. No. The house is such
a disaster. You know, that's the
I
big one.
I do tend to use that word.
And it's just like, no, it needs picking up, but it's definitely not a disaster. I've seen disasters.
We women can make little things big in more ways than one. And in this way, you know, definitely when it comes to
men
talking about what's going on,
make big things small. That's how we deal with things. It's like, oh, I've got this big, massive thing at work. I'm going to make it small and get
that's
to it.
That's your gift.
And women make small things big. And that's a way that they can often understand the world. But we've heard people like, oh, I feel like I'm a single parent. Or my husband is X, Y. No, there's all these different sort of analogies. And the truth is, it's not real. Mm-hmm. But you're using colorful language.
It connects us to that feeling. But if we are claiming that, for instance, the single parent thing, like I should just feel like a single parent when the truth is the other spouse is working their butt off. They got a lot going on and they're doing their best to provide for the family. It can feel that way. Now, the flip side is, what if there's an unhealthy, let me just ask you this. Mm-hmm. Off the cuff. What if there is an unhealthy balance right now and the woman is feeling like her need, like they're not being met and he's not open and I'm feeling lonely. I feel like a single parent because I actually don't have that kind of healthy relationship with my spouse. I don't feel like we can talk about things. So yes, I feel lonely.
Yeah. And that's why I'd encourage like just walking. Just getting like, you know, a lot of times if you're in a relationship and you're like, this person's not open, you can't go from 0 to 100. First gear to sixth gear. You know, you need to build up. So start walking, start small conversation. How's your day? You know, well, no, just basic general stuff. And then you can progress up and have more detailed conversations. But if you guys aren't talking that much and then suddenly you want to drop a load of like, hey, I have unmet needs. And, you know, it's like, that doesn't go well, you know.
Never goes well.
And I know it's like the timing is important. So if I just drop something on Janelle, I don't know if she's ready to hear it. And this is why like the marriage assessments are great because it goes through the list and you work through it, what's on the list, rather than you bringing some, oh, you're not happy. I'm not meeting your needs. I'm not good enough, which is where most people go.
It's so easy to go there. Because we are individual humans with complex needs. And like you talked about a couple episodes ago, whether or not we know it, we are coming to a relationship with a blueprint of how we want things to be, what we expect. And
your subconscious stuff that you bring of what you think it should be. And that's some of the hard ones to discover. So I've heard this. You need a 90-minute talk about life per week. And that's about kids, finances, all of that. And that could be 3 30-minute talks, or it could be 1 90-minute talk.
What does that look like for us?
So we generally do that a lot walking. And then you need a date time. And that doesn't mean you have to spend money, or maybe it is, but a date time where you can have fun, play a game, you know, do something. But a lot of times adults, the number one thing I see in most marriages is they became boring.
So true.
They're not doing anything fun.
We were at the gym last night and...
till 10 p.m.
We were closing the gym down. We were closing the gym down with all the, I think, 16-year-olds that were there as well. And as we were leaving, there was a group of 16-year-olds, right? And my first instinct was, man, why are they being so dumb? Like, they were just doing dumb stuff. Like, they were jumping on the equipment. They were trying to lift each other on different things. And then Andrew and I both, as we kind of chuckled about it, were quickly reminded of things that we did at that age that were dumb. And we realized at that age, you're wanting to impress one another. You're wanting to be kind of wild. You're wanting to, you're growing in your confidence. I mean, your brain's front lobe of your brain is still developing, for crying out loud. So there's so much going on, but more than anything, you're having fun. You want to have fun. And what do we do?
Less rules.
It can be 5, 10 years down the road. We forget what that's like. So having fun together. So like you said, for us, that is walking. We try to walk at least once a day. And just make sure we're moving forward. We are physically moving forward while we're talking many times about hard things. This last year for me, I'm just going to say it was hard with like other female relationships. And we just had to have some long talks. And poor Andrew, I'll say poor Andrew, but
me.
You did a lot of listening. You did a lot of just
and
supporting.
Guys, without trying to fix it, we've got this is the deal. Pandora's box starts opening and guys freak out because it's getting all messy. There's tears. And we go, hey, let's clean this up. Let's stuff it all back in. Let's close the lid. And now she's good. No, she's not good. Because fellas, if you've ever had your lady in your life say, we never talk. And then you're like, we were up till midnight 2 nights ago talking. And there's a reason for that, because the feminine doesn't feel like they've talked unless they've got everything out. And men go, it's getting messy, so I need to get it back in. So my job as Janelle's husband is to get all of her words out, all of her emotion out, so that box is completely empty. Just like if you clean your garage, guys, it's going to look worse before it looks better. And so my job is to let her emotionally, I use this word, but emotionally ejaculate everything she's got, because that's intimacy to a woman. And we need to provide space that they can do that. And only when they are fully empty, they've got everything out. And guys, be quiet. When you think they've got it all out, they haven't. Give them some space. Might be 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 1 minute. And then ask them, is there anything else that's going on? Is there anything else that you... And that might be another 30 minutes of pulling stuff out. But when they're empty, then they are ready for you to pour in.
Mm. How's this for a metaphor? This just came to me as you were saying this. As a lot of men are fantastic at really conceptualizing investing money, right? I'm going to put this money in. Hey, it's going to be some ups and downs. I'm going to give it time. But over time, it's going to be a good investment. But why is it that we as both males and females can tend to want to hold back with the investment of our time to one another, of listening, of not interrupting, letting the other person share? Why is that so hard?
Well, I mean, even last night you said, well, is there a way you could empty me quicker? And I was like, if there is, I haven't found it yet.
If you know, let us know.
Yeah, but it is giving them the space to emotionally process and get it out. And as men, the number one fear we have is not making our woman happy. So when we see emotion coming out, we're like, she's not happy. I've done something wrong. And I can honestly say now, and after 20 years, if Janelle's having a hard time, it's probably nothing to do with me. Where in the old days, it was everything. I must be messing up. But I'm like, she's probably having a hard day. This is probably hormones. She probably didn't sleep enough. She probably didn't eat enough protein in day 26,
yeah,
whatever it is. So I take a lot less responsibility in a good way, which allows me to be more present, because the feminine craves our presence when they listen. If I'm just like, checking my phone, that's not intimacy.
To fix.
Yep. So allow them to fully get out. And guys, this is my crude visual, but it works. If you came home and your wife was like, "Hey, I want you," and you were like, "Yes," and then 10 seconds in, she's like, "Thank you very much," and she leaves, you'd be like, "Huh, that was weird." And then in 30 minutes later, she comes back. "That was so good. Let's do it again. I want you." And you're like, "Great." 15 seconds, she stops and then leaves. And then she does it 6 times. This is what you wouldn't be saying. "I had sex with my wife 6 times yesterday." You'd be like, "I don't know what's wrong with my wife. I think she's going insane." Because we never finished. Yeah, we didn't fully empty. And the feminine needs to do that with their emotions. So most women have never fully emptied because the guy keeps trying to stuff it back in. And he goes, "Fix that problem." Yeah, she didn't have a meltdown. You melt her down. You open her up. You ask the questions like, "Oh, you know, probe, get deeper and get it all out so that she can be fully emotionally emptied." That's intimacy for the feminine. Would you agree?
I would agree. And I'm blushing a little bit because but it's so important, you know, having a focus. If we're not focusing on what kind of marriage we want, if we're not focused on what this investment really means, knowing it's not always going to be 50-50.
Nope.
And it's not supposed to be. We've heard this many times. I think it's Brené Brown that talks about it as well. It's never supposed to be 50-50. And if we buy into that and we're like, "You know, I've just really been pulling the load lately." Well, welcome to marriage, because it's going to go both ways. Back and forth. That's part of it. It's a flow. Again, we accept it for things like yoga, investments, other things. That, like, we know it's not supposed to be perfect. We know it's not just black and white, but we know it's worth it. And we know that we're going to get better. We know that things are going to gain more value. So knowing what kind of marriage that we want and
what you don't want
Don't want, and putting that time in and being willing to be available. And again, we love kind of knocking two things out. We get our exercise in. Like last night, we walked to the gym, work out together for about, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes, walk back. So that's
about... And we knew it was going to be a late night, but that's when we could get it in.
Yeah,
but
right.
Like even the marriage assessment, you know, the better love assessment, before we start, it's like, hey, we can be fully honest and fully open, or we can hide and not risk offending each other. But if we do that, we're not taking advantage of the marriage assessment. So let's be fully open and realize that my perspective is just my perspective. I can be wrong, but if it's how I feel, don't make how I feel less than, because it's how I feel.
Right.
Where it's like, change your perspective. That's like, oh yeah, okay, I'll just work on that.
Right.
So it's about, a lot of times men are not very emotionally open. So when they do, it's important to listen, mm-hmm. You know?
Yes. I want to make sure we have time to talk about that emasculate word. And we're going to kind of talk about from both men's and women's perspective. The reason we're talking about this is, again, we're going for great marriage. And no matter where your marriage or relationship is right now, to know that we can put these things into place to be able to have that healthy marriage. And it's worth it. And if you need more support in this area, of course, you know, we've got coaching. You guys can send us a message on Instagram. We can direct you to outside sources if there's some things that you're needing. But we're here to help support. We don't have all the answers. We are not marriage and family counselors. But we've been married 20 years. Andrew's been coaching for over 25,000 hours of one-on-one. Many of those conversations having to do around healthy relationships, especially relationships and marriage. So knowing, we mentioned this last episode, a lot of men are feeling inferior. They're feeling distant. They're feeling lonely. And this might be a little hard for some women to hear, but you know, we're going to display both sides. But as women, we can, without knowing it, be emasculating our men. And the real definition of that is depriving them of their male role, of their supportive male role or identity, depriving. So again, that like, hey, not quite going to give that to you. Maybe I don't feel like you deserve it right now. And I'm going to run through this list. We're going to talk about a few of them, and then we'll switch to the feminine perspective. But number one, withhold appreciation. We can want to withhold appreciation because we're thinking of all the other things that maybe weren't done the way they should, and in our minds. And so we withhold appreciation. That deprives a man of his identity. Would you agree?
Yep.
Okay. Number two, withholding admiration. It's not always going to be easy, but to be able to acknowledge when your man is doing something well, maybe you're noticing how he is with, if you have kids, with the kids, maybe you notice how he interacted with someone else, and to give that, to celebrate what he did, to be able to give him a big hug and say, how you handled that was awesome.
Yeah, I just heard this from, I forget which person was talking about it, but he said, be so good with your kids that nobody appreciates it. That was his perspective, because he said, because they all take you for granted because you're so present. You're so present at, whether it's a dance recital or a sporting game, you're so present with your wife that you become underappreciated. And I was like, well, that's a perspective. It probably helps that person in that moment. Like, God, yeah, I'm not doing this. But I'll tell you what, if that man was acknowledged for how he's showing up, for how he's at the games, for how he is with his spouse, it would light him up in ways that he's never dreamed about.
I'm all about keeping admiration and compliments at the forefront, never feeling like someone is not deserving of them. I feel like that's just a better way to live life. And you're right. That might, that perspective might help a man to kind of knuckle down, make sure. But I think the goal is that it feels natural, that whatever your work schedule is, whatever your commitments are with things outside of family, that you are a committed father. And that might mean for some that you're able to, you know, make every third dance recital or whatever it is, or every third, you know, soccer game. But it's that they know that when you say you're going to do something, you do it. And I'll say that for you, that's something that our kids have been able to see, is when you say you're going to do something. And really, when I first met Andrew on the cruise ship almost 21 years ago, guys, I married the personal trainer, the hot personal trainer on the cruise ship.
You did?
And
I haven't met him yet.
So that, for me, I had not dated somebody with the character quality that I saw in you, of like, you know what? I don't know how the details are going to work themselves out, but I'm committed to you. I'm moving over there. You know, I'll find a place, whatever. And when you said you're going to do something, you did it. And I see that come into now, even you as a dad. And I probably underappreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that in you, that you say you're going to do something, you do it. You tell someone you're going to be somewhere at a certain time. And then another part that plays into this, of course, is the love language side, which we've talked about. And to know the love languages of one another, it is important to know. And so that's part of, as we said, you know, speak to their needs. When you do the better love assessment, we have this in the show notes. When you do that, $35 for a couple, and in all honesty, transparency, we're still working through the, we're only a third of the way through. We are bite size. Sit back, digest, work on it. So how, whatever works for you, no shame, no judgment, but work through it. Know their love languages, know how they're wired, know how they best love to be communicated with, and it's just gonna feel easy. We're going for less friction in marriage. Would you agree?
Yeah, because I know the way I used to give love was I wanted to stroke Janelle, I wanted to hug Janelle, and Janelle's looking at the laundry basket.
Yeah.
And so her top need is acts of service. That would be the lowest way I would express love. And so it's looking at the other person and knowing their need and meeting their need, even if it's not the way that you express it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the next one on here is, you know, withhold participation and withhold sex. So I just want to say that to that.
You said that last word real quick.
Withhold playing chess.
There you go.
Yeah. So I'm going to speak to this, so make sure we have enough time. But we talk about needs. You talk about love languages. Just want to put out there, you don't always feel like helping me clean out the garage. You don't always feel like helping me. Gosh, what are the things? Put away the Easter decorations.
Clean the bedroom.
You don't feel like, yeah, you painted the bedroom for me. You don't probably not feel like doing
and
that.
And even like conversations when I know you're having a hard time, it's not like, oh, great, I've had a full day coaching people.
I get to jump into an hour conversation.
And now we're going to walk for an hour and talk about Janelle's challenges for the day. It's not something I go, yes, that's exactly what I'd like to do this evening. But it's what makes a great marriage.
And it's what makes me feel seen. It makes me feel loved. It makes me feel safe. Mm-hmm. And the same thing for you with playing chess. I might not always feel like that.
She means sex.
Okay.
Just to let you know.
So I might not always feel like that. And I think for most women, this is where I have conversations with the women's side of things. You might not always be feeling like it, but when you're in a healthy and safe marriage relationship, to be able to look at like, yeah, I might not be feeling like it, just like you might not have been feeling like the other thing, but yet I know your needs. I know what's important to you. I know that for you, this is not something that you're just all about because you're a man. It's because you feel safe, because you feel strong, you feel connected, you feel presence. Yeah. So when I can look at it and I can put those glasses on, so to speak, I can have a different attitude. I can kind of shift my focus.
Yep.
And because that's what you do when you've had a long day of working, and honestly, in your line of work, knowing that you are, and depending, you know, women, as you're listening to this, knowing what is your husband's line of work, what kind of fires is he putting out all day, knowing that when we come with our needs, we want to be able to, you know, talk about it, have open, honest communication, then we can come into those conversations, enter in, and there can be this exchange that feels like it's just strengthening the marriage instead of a give take. Look, well, I'm doing this for you, so then you're gonna do this for me. And if we're gonna, so it's not just an exchange.
Yeah, there's three levels of love. Level one is, what do I get? Level two is, what do I get if I give? If I do the dishes, do I get sex later? And then level three is, what can I give? And when two people are focusing on a marriage, is what can I give? It's beautiful. Now, you might be going, I am the one that's giving, and they are not. And again, we could talk a lot more about this, but it's like the power of you showing up is amazing. So yeah, I do things that I don't want to do, but I know it's good for Janelle. So I'm going to do it to meet her needs. Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
Very true.
And the final part is presence. If it is intimacy, if it is talking, if Janelle needs me to listen, I need to be fully present when she listens. If it's intimacy, I need to be fully present with that. Where if it's other things going on, we all know it, we can all feel it, and it's not at the level that it could be.
Mm-hmm. I think bottom line, what I'm hearing through all of this, even though we talk about this a lot, but as you're explaining it, is it's one step at a time. It's getting support with these resources we're talking about. If there's issues in marriage that require counseling at a high level, of course, seek that out. From the coaching perspective, you're kind of coming in like, we're not going to spend a ton of time on the past. We're going to look at what's the current situation and move forward. Yep. That's where we come into play. But, you know, when we talk about how women are maybe not knowing how they are emasculating or depriving a man of his role, I'm going to just add a few more to this. When, as women, we don't let our man impress us. Again, that kind of comes into play with admiration. Maybe when we don't accept a compliment. And when we compare ourselves unfavorably or compare our man to someone else. Well, look how so-and-so is doing the garage outside. Why don't you get out and do that, right? Ooh, how does that feel?
Yeah, horrible.
It feels weakening, right? Yep. To compare. And when we don't trust them, we don't trust them. And when we assume insincerity, they say something, we say, well, you're probably just wanting to, you know, get me in bed later.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
think a lot of, like,
instead
some
of thank
of the
you
lies.
For the compliment.
Yeah.
I have to work on that. Thank you. Thank you for the compliment.
You look
Thanks.
Great.
Thank you.
Did I say
Thanks.
That?
Yeah. Those are the ways, ladies, those right there, those are some of the top ways. We don't even realize we're doing it because maybe we are feeling like we have not spoken out some needs that we have. Maybe we're feeling insecure. Maybe our body has been changing and we're not feeling as confident. But to be able to say, no matter what, though, when my man gives me a compliment or when I see him do something great, or, you know, that we're going to speak it out, that we're going to receive it, is very important. Because again, it's a give and it's a take.
And we'll put some in the notes and on Instagram, some of the books that I've read, some of the books that you've read, some of the courses we've taken that have really helped. And it's not one thing. It's multiple sources, you know, and there's some that speak more to Janelle and there's some that speak more to me. And, it's finding out, getting the resources. We're at a day in history where there is so much access to information to help us grow. And so it can't be a lack of knowledge that stops somebody anymore, because the knowledge, if you let guys listen to this, you pay nothing for it, you know. And there's a lot of free information out there, you know. So dive in. Decide what type of marriage you want. Decide who you're going to be. And I've said this before, but having a bad marriage is hard. Having a good marriage is hard. Being in shape is hard. Being out of shape is hard. Being rich is hard. Being broke is hard. Choose your hard. Mm-hmm. And because I know by us focusing on our marriage, it's going to improve our kids' marriages, because we get to be a blueprint because our kids aren't listening. They're watching.
True.
How we interact, how you interact, you know, is what your kids, they'll either grow up to be just like you or go, there is not a chance I want to be that. So learn, grow, try things, but start off with spending time with each other. Do something fun. And we love the adventure challenge .com cards.
Yep. Adventure challenge. We need to have that in the show notes as well. Adventure challenge. And the code Devlin10 gives 10% off for that. So just to wrap this up, we know what we don't want. Men, we don't want to be sabotaging our women without knowing. Women, we don't want to be emasculating our men without knowing. And what we do want is, we want a marriage that is thriving, that is open communication, and that is strong and healthy, ever-changing, ups and downs, but that is a marriage that we can really lean on and we can grow together and we can still be having fun,
yep.
still be in love.
Yes.
It's not easy. It's work, but it's worth it. So bad marriages don't just happen. We have to be intentional to have a fantastic marriage. All right, guys, if you enjoyed this, let us know. And we look forward to seeing you guys next time. Love Plus Money.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for riding shotgun with us on another episode of Love Plus Money. We trust you're leaving with meaningful insights. If today's episode fueled your hunger for success and fulfillment in all areas of life, don't hold back. Hit that subscribe button, give us your rating, and lay down your thoughts in a review. Your feedback powers our mission to equip high achievers like you with the tools to conquer every challenge. Stay dialed in with us on social at Devlin Worldwide. And guys, keep charging ahead, nurturing your relationships, and never compromising on your most important dedications. Until next time, this is Andrew and Janelle Devlin signing off, reminding you that love plus money can equal the freedom to live your best, most purpose-filled life.
This has been a production from A Podcast Studio.